the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Welcome to Scaredy Cats, here on the Everything Unscripted Network, our horror show. I am one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hello, guys. I'm the other co-host of Scaredy Cats, just a podcast that we like to do to review horror movies.
Oh, yeah. Tonight we got a doozy, the Black Christmas remake from 2019. It's going to be a good one, huh?
I don't really think it would be a good one. I mean, I think it's going to be really good because we're going to focus a lot on the differences between the films. And I think our audience is really going to enjoy our perspectives. They might not, they might. But I also feel like a lot of people after this are going to go watch the original movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame them. Before that, we'll get into some plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday after NXT and AEW, and every Friday after SmackDown. That's Boss and Smark. Really good guys. Make sure to check us out every Friday for Unscripted Wrestling. We had an episode yesterday, but it's normally going to be Friday at 6:30 p.m. for the Unscripted Wrestling podcast. Settle It in the Ring you can find on Saturdays around 5 or 6. And everything else we'll be doing, Control Chaos might return, and make sure to always check this out. Sunday at 3 is pretty much our time slot, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and that's when everyone's been tuning in, so that works for us. Let's get into it, though. The Black Christmas remake. Give us a little background on the original first, Mindy, because the original is known for pretty much, you know, opening the genre for slashers, you know?
It is. I will have to say the first original slasher that was in the mainstream media was Peeping Tom in the 1950s, but Black Christmas, and that came out in the early 1970s, I believe 1973 or 74, and it came out before Halloween. It is actually known as the original inspiration for Halloween. John Carpenter went to the movie theaters, saw Black Christmas, and loved it, and wanted to come up with something a little different, but yeah, around the same slasher realm. So it very much did kick slashers into it. Another thing it really brought was somebody being in the house with you. It takes home invasion to a completely different level.
Yeah.
This one, the remake, not so much. But the original, like, in the very beginning, you see the protagonist. Oh, spoilers, by the way, people. We forget to always say that. Spoilers.
Yeah, it goes without being said.
In the beginning, the protagonist, in the very first one, Billy, gets into the house because all the girls are partying and they're not paying attention and whatnot. So he sneaks up to their attic. And then you don't see him. All the kills, they're unseen. You don't see anything, guys.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Nothing is seen. Like, everything is left to your imagination. Even the end is left to your imagination. That is what I love about it. This one, a little too feminist for my taste.
Yeah, I mean, I think, is it fair to say that if you're hoping for a proper remake of the 1977 version, that you'll be probably disappointed because it's kind of a different movie. I think it was 1977, yeah.
Okay, sorry, guys, 77. Yeah, absolutely. I really think that this is another one. I know I've said this before, guys, but I really feel like this is another one of those movies that you could slap a different title on it and
yeah,
it could be a completely different movie and you wouldn't know them. You wouldn't know them.
I mean, to me, it's just the winter time in the sorority house is pretty much it.
Because in the original Black Christmas, it started the horror trope, the calls are coming from inside the house. That horror trope has been used for years after that. It was used for this. It was used for all of the strange recalls, which I'm not going to go through all those because it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like every home invasion movie where you don't see the killer and there's phone calls involved, it normally is the calls are coming from inside the house. And I feel like that is just a gut wrencher.
Yeah.
You know, like to have an addict be hanging out with your friends and family and having a good time and everyone's going to miss them one by one. You're getting these disturbing phone calls. You call the police station to get the phone calls traced and then you get a call that the calls are coming from inside the house. Also, I do have to say one thing about the first one that I did not like, guys. If you are called by the police station, by the phone company, and you are told that the homicidal maniac that is knocking off every single person in the house is in the house with you, get out the house, people.
Yeah.
Run. I mean, I know you all love your friends. I know you all love your family. I love my friends. I love my family. But come on, survival of the fittest, man. Take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
And foremost. And that's one thing I will have to say that really, really aggravated me about the original. Even though it wasn't shown what actually happened to her, we all know she died.
Yeah.
And she basically died in vain. They never found him. They never found him.
Ooh.
No, they didn't find him because they had too much of a bloodbath. They would have had to call in another coroner's truck, and they already had to call one in from out of state because it was a small town, and they didn't want to do that. So they said, and I quote, just leave the attic alone. I bet no one's up there. And that's where the killer was.
Yeah.
So she did it in vain, and she died in vain, basically. She died for no reason. She could have gotten out of the house. We would have had a final girl. But she was stupid.
And this one, I mean, it did well box office-wise. This is a Blumhouse production. Those
Blumhouse
movies,
typically does well, though, wouldn't you say?
Financially, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're known for, because they took the Halloween 2018 thing, too, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, they did. They're also doing Candyman.
Yeah.
They also did Chucky. Yeah, Blumhouse is definitely one to watch out for. They're definitely an up and coming horror thing.
Yes.
I hate saying sorry about that.
Very good.
Also, one thing I would like our horror fans to check out if you like Blumhouse Productions, they actually teamed up with the streaming service Hulu. They came up with a little series called Into the Dark.
Yeah.
And a lot of their movies, very, very good. Do not watch Pilgrim, people. Don't do it. It will ruin Thanksgiving for you for the rest of your life. Don't watch it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that.
For the love of God, don't watch it. Just save yourself the time and the energy. Go look it up on Wikipedia if you're that interested on what it is.
Yeah. So this one did 18 mil out of 5 mil budget, so it's pretty respectable. It's not like the biggest numbers, but for what they had and what they were, it was pretty good. Critically, this thing got torn to fucking shreds. I don't know any critic or reviewer that liked this movie, and especially people that, you know, feminism is a topic that it's a half and half, you know. You got two different sides pretty much, so obviously this is a polarizing movie. A lot of people didn't like it for that. Do you think that the feminism themes were a little too much, or do you think they were done right?
No. At times, I feel it was done completely wrong. I do not agree with the whole performance at the frat house and whatnot. I'm sorry, girls. I really am. I mean, I am a full advocate for sexual assault. I don't think it's right. I will never, ever, ever condone it. But there's no reason to go out there and poke fun at somebody, no matter what they did. And for them to plan it for weeks and then go up there, they deserve to get targeted by the sorority.
Oh, shit. That's a... Yeah?
I mean, or the fraternity. I'm sorry. If a girl... If when I was back in school, if a girl hits you, you were going to get hit back.
I mean, yeah,
you
but that guy...
Somebody, you were going to get punched. I mean, yes, the man did roofie her. No one believed her or anything else. That's why she did this performance. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they basically took a stick and poked the bears.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a part of the fraternity anymore. He was just visiting.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the theme, that it's like women should be able to do that without severe repercussions. It's
and I completely agree. But when it's necessary. This was done 2 years after the situation had happened.
Yeah.
If they had done it immediately after it had happened, it would have made a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
It would have been a little bit more justified. You can't wait several years and then be like, oh, that person, I'm going to get back at this person. It doesn't work like that. With sexual assault, with bullying, anything like that. You can't get back at somebody for something that happened years ago.
I mean, that's a high debate, and I don't want to get into that too much here. But this also plays with heavy themes, too.
Yes.
You know, so it kind of – and I think the reason I don't like it as much is because it plays with heavy themes, but the plot's not strong enough to really carry them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a simple slasher with all those heavy things put in it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that makes it a little more gimmicky.
Absolutely, and they have – so, man, I don't know if you agree, but to me, I feel like they have so many different things going on that they didn't have one thing to focus on.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was probably their biggest downfall, because it's completely okay to have subplots. I'm not saying it's not, but when you are doing so many subplots that the movie is like, come on, what am I actually watching? What's going on? That's not good.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the way they handled the male characters, I think, also really makes it, like, it seems super feminism because all the guys are just evil people. It's not like everyone's a little gray or whatever. It's like these guys are like, these are the bad guys. And then you got the good guys.
Like, even the one girl in the sorority, her boyfriend, like, she even turned out to be a bad guy. They were all talking about the performance and how someone was after him. And they were like, well, I'd come after you too.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Yeah.
You're dating one of the girls that sang.
Yeah.
Are you serious? You're not even a part of the fraternity. You tell them, oh, you deserved it? What is wrong with you?
Yeah. No, and it just made no sense because, like, Landon was probably the only dude that's supposed to be sort of likable, right?
Yes, but he was the one that... Oh, no, Landon was the...
Glasses. Yeah, and he was, like... But
he was creepy. I'm sorry.
And so underwritten, too, to where, like, he's got a few lines of dialogue.
Yes, but he's so underwritten that he's creepy.
Yeah, he is kind of creepy. You could think he's behind it the whole time.
Exactly. I did.
Yeah.
I honestly did. I thought he was 100% behind it because of how creepy he was.
Yeah.
And hats off to the actor, because no matter what dialogue or whatever you have, to come off that creepy is an accomplishment.
Yeah, I think the only downfall is I don't think that's what they wanted.
No, it's
I think
not.
He was supposed to be more lovable, like the
Definitely.
Only likable dude in this thing.
And the fact that they turned him evil right before the end of the movie, I feel like that kind of nipped him in the butt a little bit.
Yeah.
I really feel like he would have been better if they would have wrote it to where he decided to rise up against the fraternity and help the girls.
Yeah. No, that would have been ideal. I mean,
that's what he was plugged for.
Yeah.
That's what you thought was going to happen. I've seen the trailers. I've seen the teasers. That's what you think Landon is there for.
Yeah, to help them out.
But he's not.
No, he tries to, and then he gets you know, mind controlled or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
What do you think about the lead? The Lindsay? No, that's not Lindsay. It's Riley.
Her name is Riley. Okay. I don't want people to put me on the cross and crucify me here. But Riley's character, the woman that plays her, she reminds me a lot of Kristen Stewart from back in the Twilight era.
Yeah.
She has a very, very nonchalant, just depressed look on her face.
Yeah.
Almost the entire time.
Which, I mean, it makes sense for the situation. But...
Absolutely. I'm not saying it doesn't. All I'm saying is I feel like we should have seen, like, when she did win, and or when they took it as a win, when she did her performance and whatnot, she could have smiled a little bit. I don't think I saw the actress smile once.
Yeah.
In the entire film. Like, they could have given her a little bit more depth instead of just making her the sad, depressed girl that got raped.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did. Because even though, and I don't know if you agree with me, Danielle, but even though this movie was very, very, very feminist-based, they had no problems in stereotyping their female actresses.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chris was definitely the fighter, and then she was kind of this the girl that wasn't. So you would like her to be a little more independent.
Exactly. I want her to be a little bit more of a final girl. She's a final girl.
Yeah.
And I feel like Chris was more like a final girl.
Chris survives, right?
Or yes, no? Chris yeah. does survive. Chris actually ends up helping Riley in the end.
Yeah, she sets the dude on fire.
Yes. She destroys the bus. Riley destroys the bus after the Hawthorne bus, which is giving these people magical powers, by the way, which is another thing I don't like. It's just way too weird. She overpowers her sexual offender and is able to tip over the bus and make it explode and everything, and everyone went back to normal. And then Chris burned the fraternity's leader, who is Carrie Elves. He's actually an amazing, amazing comedic actor.
Yeah.
And he did an okay He did an okay job, but honestly, I like him in his other roles. A lot of people will know him for the iconic Princess Bride, also Robin Hood Men in Tights. He played Robin Hood, so this was a completely different role for him. So, but I feel like it was cool the way they set him on fire and left.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was trippy. And then I don't know if you even know this, but if you watch the movie and you watch all the way through the credits, there is a mid-credit scene. And in the mid-credit scene, the one dorky girl who had a cat left at the house, she is seen licking up Hawthorne's black goo.
Yeah, so we might get a cat sequel.
So we might get a sequel where the cat is brainwashing other people. I really hope. Blumhouse, if you can hear me right now, I really hope you don't do this to us. Come on. Please. Don't play us like this. If it happens, you know we're going to watch it for you guys, but it's not going to be a good watch.
No.
We will do it for you. We'll give you what you want, but it's not going to be good. But yes, Daniel, how do you feel how it basically jumped from a psychotic killer who they couldn't see to a fraternity that was being corrupted by a bust?
I didn't like it, obviously, because I like, you know, the kind of slashers I like, and usually more realism, the better for me, because that gets me more into it. This, it was too... And we'll be doing the Poltergeist next week. I still got to announce that. But it's too supernatural, I guess. And it's
absolutely.
The first slasher. Slashers are kind of rooted in real. I know we got Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. But to me, like Michael Myers and all that, before they made him make all these guys immortal, it's kind of rooted in realism.
Oh, absolutely.
And Scream's one of my favorites, too. You know that.
Yeah.
But, so this was a little too hokey, a little too gimmicky. And like I said, like, there was no surprise factor. There wasn't really a whodunit. Like, you kind of, the beginning scene is the frats, like, frightened in the bus or whatever. So you already know what's going on.
And then the whole thing with Helena disappearing, that was so obvious. Because
mm-hmm.
he just killed somebody. So he just killed somebody to then kidnap someone and she has nothing to do with it? Come on.
Yeah.
She obviously has something to do with it. Otherwise, she would have killed her.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I felt bad for the poor girl because she died anyway.
Yeah.
Like, she sacrificed her entire sorority plus other girls that she knew just to be killed.
And who was the house mom from the original that drank too much? We needed her in this one.
We did. We needed a house mother in this one. I can't remember her name, but I love house mothers in sorority films. They're so great. I know Daniel knows that there is one movie that I love. It's called Sorority Bro.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's daughter is actually in it. Yep. And it is a slasher movie. It is whodunit. And it is very, very good. Very good. And the house mother is actually played by Princess Leia herself.
Yeah.
And she has a shotgun and no fucks.
No fucks given.
She will kill you. Yeah. But in the beginning scene, she's drinking tea with alcohol where they're all out partying. She gets voice coming into her kitchen and she's like, no, get out of here now. My space. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, we're dealing with this kind of person. And he shows up at the end and cocks his gun, and she's like, no one messes with my girl's motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, we needed that. We needed somebody older that cared about the girls. The boys had somebody older that cared about them.
Yeah, they didn't have, like, that mother figure. I guess Chris kind of was that as the friend. She's the only character. I understand that a lot of people would hate her character. Because a lot of people do not like feminist values and are completely against that. And I'm not really going to give my beliefs here, but I like her character. I thought the strong fighter, independent, like, I think that Riley should have had a little more of that, obviously. But Chris is one of the people I could actually watch because I feel like the actress could actually do something.
Yeah.
I know she's a newcomer, too, but.
No, but she's definitely one of the newcomers that you're going to want to watch out for.
Yeah.
She's definitely one of those people that is going to show up again. Her name is Elise Shannon.
Yeah.
And I will say that you need to keep an eye out for that name.
Yeah.
Because she's going to come. And she's going to come fast.
And I can see her being a Scream Queen, too.
Absolutely. I can really see her being a very, very good set person in the horror genre. And that's Campbell, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
She has that fight in her acting. The other girl, the one that played our lead, not so much. She had a little bit too much depression going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable for the situation.
Absolutely.
And I get they're trying, because when you're dealing with such heavy themes, it's hard to get it 100% right, because it's so touchy and you're going to offend everybody.
But do we feel like this was the platform for these heavy themes to be on?
No. I think you can do that realistically in a horror movie and do it right, but this isn't the way to do it.
Exactly, because it's a remake.
Yeah.
Or a reboot or whatever, but still, and you cannot take the entire story and throw it in the trash.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, not as much whatsoever, but there are some feminism themes in the original. Just
because
it's a group of women.
I'm not talking about the themes, though. I'm talking about the plot.
The story,
I'm talking about the fact that there was a killer, Billy and Agnes. I'm talking about that there was depth.
Yeah.
To that movie. I mean, yeah, you didn't see much, but you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And that's what made it scary.
There's not much depth here at all.
No, not at all.
And to me, the mid-credit scene with the cat and everything, that just proves how not serious this is supposed to be taken. Because you can't look at that and be like, oh, that's going to be a sequel. That's going to be, oh, they were just fucking around at the end.
Exactly. Like, we were just messing with you people. No cat is going to come alive and
how is that supposed to realistically set up a new movie that people are going to want to watch?
Exactly. Like, it could have easily soaked into the walls and be breathing, being breathed in by somebody that moved in.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Or, like turn it into one guy goes crazy. And
exactly.
Try to...
Like, it possesses his body and becomes a parasite.
Yeah.
And, like, looks for other people to feed up. There's just so many different ways they could have gone with this.
And I think if they take out the bust and just have it as these vicious motherfuckers are so bad and they're such terrible people that these girls won't let them do whatever they want and that's why they're killing them, that probably would have been a more compelling movie.
Absolutely.
But they need this
supernatural
thing. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel the bust brought that supernatural that didn't need to be there.
Yeah. Like, they're already evil, bad people. Just let them be that. Why do you need another reason, motive, you know?
Exactly. They could have easily just had the professor be the one brainwashing them.
Yeah, and saying this is how we've been all been brainwashed for years, but it doesn't have to be this, like, cryptic, stupid-ass thing.
Yeah.
I'd probably agree with that.
I mean, I understand it's 2020, 2019, or 2021 or whatever. A lot of people are focusing on witchcraft and supernatural and stuff like that, but not every movie has to have witchcraft in it.
Yeah, there's slasher fans that want to see a slasher. I don't care, and I'm open. I mean, we're doing the Poltergeist next week. I'm open to those movies. I love Paranormal Activity and shit like that, but when you're going to take a beloved, something that started the friggin' genre, you know? That's like if you took Halloween and tried to do something like that. Like, people are going to be pissed.
Well, that's like, to actually go off what you're saying, little brother, that's kind of like with Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah.
He changed it so much to where the fans and the critics were so angry.
Yeah.
Me, personally, please don't crucify me. I liked the Rob Zombie film.
Me too.
Personal
well, I like the
opinion.
First one. Though.
Everyone has opinions. They're like assholes. Everyone has them.
Some of them are shitty.
Some of them are shitty. Some of them are good.
Yeah, but to me, that doesn't even divvy, that does not go away from the Halloween story more
exactly.
than this.
Exactly. It showed you more to the Halloween story, if anything. This one just takes the original story, puts it in a box, and ships it to Timbuktu.
Yeah. To me, this is more like Halloween 3, like when they're like, Michael Myers isn't even in this bitch. Like, that's kind of how
like
they were with this.
Curse of the Witch or whatever.
Yeah.
And
with the mask.
Horrible, horrible movie, by the way, people. Don't waste your time with it.
We'll
awful
do it
movie.
Sometime.
Please, no. I know we're going to have to. I know Halloween, we're probably going to have to cliche and go Halloween movies. I don't want to do Season of the Witch.
One thing I really liked about the movie, because I really haven't said much about what I like about it.
No, you basically said you hated it.
But the beginning sequence with I said her name wrong. Lindsay. The beginning sequence with Lindsay, the blonde chick that gets killed at the beginning.
With the icicle.
With the icicle. I said that I didn't like the icicle thing because I mean, I know you can be killed with an icicle, but it just does not feel realistic. But whatever. What I do like is that the guy behind her, she thinks he's the dude, but it's not. It's just some guy walking on his phone. You know that scene, right? The beginning one? Where she thinks he is the creepy guy, sent her these messages. And then he, like, turns over. I love it when movies do that.
Yeah.
I know they've done it a lot, but I like that, like, scene where it's like, oh, shit. And then they, oh, no, he's innocent. Never mind.
Yeah.
And then she turns around, and it's the other fucking dude.
Exactly. I really loved that, where she was knocking on the doors, and she found out that the killer was in the one house she was knocking on. That was cool.
Yeah, I did not mind that opening scene. I thought that set up the movie. Pretty good.
Absolutely, and I will have to say, the way that they had her arms move to be a snow angel, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And the plot twist with Helena, too.
Yes.
About her, like, being a good woman and being, like, because that is, like, there are certain women like that, too, that, you know.
Yeah, but is she a good woman? Even though she turned her back on her own sister.
No, she's not a good, but that's the point. She's like being a good woman in the sense of like sexist male America, right?
Okay.
She's just being a good woman for these guys, like a good old-fashioned lady, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I like that twist because, you know, there are people that try to take the movement behind a little bit and don't have those and just want to, like, cook and clean. And that she seemed like one of those girls.
Yeah.
Like, she was just, like, she just wants to be a
she wanted
American
someone to
housewife.
Provide for.
Yeah, that's it. And she's fine with being seen and not heard, pretty much.
Exactly.
You know, speak when spoken. So it's kind of cool to see that, you know, conflict with how Riley is and how she's not like that and Chris aren't like that and how they're like, you know, this independent women and like the movement and stuff. And then
absolutely
the twist, that I just liked the twist at the end. That twist was not bad. I like that. And then when the dude still snaps her neck, that was pretty
yeah,
cool.
That was good.
Yeah.
I will have to say Helena's kill was probably the best. Out of all of them.
Was it? Because we got to get into that.
Have to say that is one of my favorites. Also, I really like the icicle thing. I'm really in, Daniel knows this, I'm really into using your environment. That's one of the reasons why I hate the movie Hellfest, even though my brother is going to make me review it.
Yeah.
I am a very much person about using your environment. Using what is given to you. So the fact that this man just reaches up, breaks off an icicle, and impales her with it, yes.
Yeah.
I love those kind of things. When you use your environment to your advantage. That's what you're supposed to do as a killer. Is use your environment and your knowledge to your advantage.
Yeah.
If you're not, then you're just a mediocre.
Yeah.
Who wants a mediocre killer?
No. You need a man that's going to see a tree and say, I'm going to put this woman in a sleeping bag and throw her across the tree.
Exactly. Not just like, oh, look, a tree. Let's hang her. No.
Yeah.
Do something before you hang her. Gut her.
People are going to think we're done. But I really, the kills in this movie did not bothered me. They weren't overly offensive. I think they could have been
but
better.
Also, she went back, the director herself went back to make it that way because she wanted a PG-13 rating, people.
Yeah, because she
so
wanted
more
people.
People could see her movie.
Yeah.
So she actually, from Gone, a lot of the violence so she could be PG-13.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of nipped her in the butt.
It hurts it. Yeah. It
a little
it.
Bit.
Because you can't... Because
there is some really scary PG-13s out there.
Yeah.
There really is. Like, the first Grudge with Sarah Michelle Gellar, you can't tell me that's not scary.
Yeah.
That is scary. That is a scary movie. And that is also one, like, this one that's taken off a remake, and but it still sticks to its story. I feel if they would have stuck to their story... they would have had a hit.
Yeah. A little, more of a hit. Yeah. I like the... Do this in a different type of movie, like you said. Put a different name on it. Because then you're not going to piss off the fan base.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much... I like the crossbows.
Yeah.
Because I love crossbow kills. So I love that the guys like always had a crossbow.
It's so unexpected. Never know when it's going to hit. Who it's going to hit.
The one boyfriend got hit in the throat with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one that, like, turned on him and then came back.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah,
that was good. Another really good crossbow killing movie, if you like those kind of movies, is actually Hush.
Yeah.
Which we'll be covering as well. But long story short, comes down to a deaf girl versus a completely coherent male playing a cat and mouse with a crossbow. And it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's a great movie. That's one of my favorite, like, new generation horror movies, anyway.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Because he's even in her house at some point. And it's a really good movie. We're going to have to go over that. That's a really good movie.
What do you think was your lamest kill?
Give me a second here, people. The attic girl with the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people. I gotta bring this quote to life here. this bitch is plugging in all these Christmas lights, and she goes, oh my God, do Christmas lights expire? They're light bulbs. They don't expire. They blow out.
Exactly.
Are you that stupid? But at that point, she deserved to be killed. At that point, I was like, come on, when is she going to die?
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for her to die, because she took like 10, 15 minutes to die. But the whole light process and whatnot, I understand why they did that, because they wanted her to be funny. That's not a funny line to me, people. That's stupid. But do Christmas lights expire? They blow out.
Yeah.
Like, she could have said, oh, I did these blow out, or did these go bad, or something like that. I understand why they did what they did, because they were trying to throw comedy in there, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel like that by far was our lamest kill.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. I didn't really like that one either. A lot about this movie I didn't like too much. There was some good stuff. I didn't hate the whole movie, but, and the basic plot I think could work in a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else you wanted to talk about too much? I think we've done a pretty, this is going to be a shorter one, but.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a shorter show, guys. Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered everything, except I will say, as much as I hate the 2006 remake, guys, if you're looking for a remake and for something that reboots Black Christmas and shows you a little bit more in depth of the killer and whatnot, go ahead and check out the 2000 remake, the 2006.
Yeah.
Yes, it's bad, but you do get more backstory on the 1977 one.
Yes. It's a little more faithful.
And this one just completely takes it. Like I said, it takes the original story, puts it in a box, and ships it to Timbuktu.
Yeah, it's a different movie, just sorority and Christmas is the only thing. And it being set in Christmas, I think it was only really done for that icicle kill anyway. I mean, this really doesn't need to be in Christmas besides that.
It really doesn't. I've seen a lot of Christmas movies, people. And also, I will have to say, the first one was actually not even supposed to be called Black Christmas. It was actually supposed to be called Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
That's what the series was actually supposed to be called. It was supposed to be called Silent Night, Deadly Night. And they changed it. And I think that it was not a good change. I think they should have kept it. But also, I know a ton of different Christmas horror movies that I love.
Yeah.
Krampus, really good movie. My fiance even likes Krampus, and he hates horror movies.
Yeah.
He sees everything coming. Krampus, he didn't. So he loved it.
That was a good movie, yeah.
And another one that our older brother actually loves is Sleigh Ride, I believe it's called. Something like that. All I know is it's Goldberg running around in a Santa Claus suit killing people.
Santa Sleigh. Yeah.
That's what it is. So there's very other Christmas movies that I would say go watch first. Like Better Watch Out.
Yeah.
Santa Sleigh. The Children.
Yeah.
The Visit. Like,
or just don't be a sick bastard and watch The Santa Claus or something, you know?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It's good to watch horror movies at Christmas, too. That's
it's good to watch horror movies anytime.
Yeah.
I mean, people, if you don't like what you're hearing, there is something called a pause button. You are more than welcome to hit it. There is something called a skip button. We do have a lot of other podcasts on the show, like we plugged in the beginning. We have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we got good shit.
And if you like horror, stay with us. If you don't, you're more than welcome to just check in with us once a year, maybe, and come in on Halloween. That's fine.
Yeah, but a horror, the community is very big, so that's why this has been cool, and seeing the support.
Absolutely,
been awesome.
And we really want to take time out to thank everybody for supporting us coming together and viewing it. Not only viewing this, but viewing my brother's shows has been very, very helpful to the network. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're gonna close it off here. I am gonna say, the way the director and the scriptwriters treated the main characters, like the girls, I do think they had a lot of thought in them. A lot of the other characters I was disappointed with, but this isn't just a basic teen slasher.
No.
I would not label it as another one of those. I do think this movie tried to do a lot of things. It just didn't. It came up short.
Yeah.
But it's not just a get drunk and get killed.
Absolutely not. It's not getting giggities or anything else. Like, it is truly a slasher movie, but it just has so much going on.
Yeah. A little overstuffed.
Exactly. It's like a turducken.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Too much. All right. So on that note, we will be doing Poltergeist, the 2015 remake, next week.
Pray for my soul, people.
Yeah, that was a bad one. I saw that in theaters, so I'm excited. And, make sure to keep checking us out. Check us out next week. And we're excited to keep growing the Scaredy Cat family. Anything else, Mindy? Or?
Just be sure to tune in not only to Scaredy Cats, but also to my brother's wrestling show as well on this podcast. And let's keep it growing. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you all next week.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming.